Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I read the article on Bob Costas and his split with NBC over concussions and the NFL, and I was fascinated. That article had so many undertones of the collective consciousness of what's going on in our country right now. We could probably do a three-hour show just on the article, but the main subject matter was fascinating as well.
It is, and I've always had a lot of respect for Bob Costas, who had a habit of speaking his mind, for better or worse. I mean, he was certainly more than a play-by-play guy. He knew sports, but many times he would talk about topics that transcend sports. So very cerebral, I think very down to earth. He had a way of connecting with people. He was scheduled to hang in there with NBC Sports and actually do the Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
Of course, that did not come to pass. He became something of a pariah within NBC Sports because he talked very openly about the concussion threat specifically to NFL players, but really across the board, whether it's peewee football, college football. He became, the more that he learned about CTE, the brain wasting disease that repeated concussions can create. And again, this was the result of research that was done in Pittsburgh, Dr. Bennett Omalu, and he came out with a movie, Concussion, in 2015. Will Smith did a great job playing him in that movie. And again, Costas felt the need to speak truth to power and to talk about this silent epidemic, and that we have all these pro football players, many of them are dying, many of them are committing suicide in a macabre way, doing so in a way that preserves their brains. They would take their lives, but they knew that something was wrong with their brains. And so they wanted to preserve their brains for research so people could say, yes, this individual had CTE, or no, he didn't. And again, you need to read this. Again, it's outside the lines on ESPN. Mm-hmm. This story dropped yesterday. And at one point, and this never made air, but I found it fascinating what Costas wrote. The essay he wrote, Jor, he submitted to his bosses at NBC Sports, and it never got approved. They said, this is a very well-written piece, wouldn't change a comma, we can't air it. Costas even says, look, in his essay, he says, as the ratings rise, so too does a certain ambivalence. As much as we may try to push it into the background, there's a kind of Russian roulette going on the field tonight and on our television screens throughout the fall and winter, since we know that for all the game's appeal, many of its participants will one day pay dearly for their part in our national obsession. And they said, no, you can't say that on the air. We're in negotiations with the NFL for Thursday night football. And that's when Costas realized he was in an untenable situation. He knew his days there were limited. But again, he felt compelled,
right,
as not just a sports nerd, but also as a journalist, to, again, speak truth to power. It ultimately cost him his job at NBC.
Well, that's what's so sad about it, that the networks are so ruled by the NFL that even speaking about the health of the players or saying anything negative at all would anger the NFL gods so much that it would then come down on the networks and say, if you don't get your guy to shut up, we're not going to play our game and kick our ball on your air anymore. And we're going to go to someone else's air that's going to do whatever we say and not tell the truth.
But again, this represents an existential crisis, not only for the NFL, but you could argue for network television, specifically
Correct.
CBS and Fox.
You mean how much they're kowtowing to certain advertisers?
And again, Dan Cook, our amazing producer, was quick to point this out. The only thing that is DVR proof is sports.
That's right.
And especially NFL football. Right, Dan? I mean, that.
Well, NFL football gets better ratings than anything else, so that's what makes it more valuable. But sports in general, you can't. Everybody's walking around with a computer in their pocket now. You can't avoid the score anymore. You can't tape the game and see it later, which you can do on any other show, and it doesn't really change a whole lot. But with sports, you're going to get it spoiled. So if you want to watch it, you're pretty much going to watch it live, which is why all of the sports entities have such enormous television contracts, because the networks want that content that they can turn around and offer to advertisers, and advertisers are desperate to get on that content because they know that those are the places their ads are going to be most seen and therefore most valuable, so they can turn around and charge clients more money. You know, it's all, you know, money related.
But it's not just about the advertising. You mentioned it's all the sports betting that's surrounding it.
Well, that's why the NFL is more popular than other sports, true. But that's not why, you know, that doesn't have anything to do in terms of why the television contracts are so big. The reason that the NFL is bigger than any other sport is because there's fantasy football.
All the ancillary things.
Yeah, is because the gambling on it. If sports gambling becomes legal across the country, as is starting to happen on a trickle, that's only going to cause the NFL to shoot even further through the roof in terms, more so than baseball, more so than basketball, more so than hockey.
But what do you make, though, of Costas? I mean, he really died on this hill, right? I mean, his network television career died on that hill. He could have just sucked it up and said, all right, I'm not going to have any comment on this. I'm troubled as a citizen, as a viewer, I'm troubled, but I'm not going to pontificate on the air.
I think he could have
gone that route.
He could have. He didn't need to. Whereas a lot of other broadcasters would need to in the situation.
You're saying
like that.
He had enough money that he could just take a stand?
Bob bleeping Costas. You know, if you did a Mount Rushmore of sports broadcasters, he'd be on it.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
No question. And so I think you reach a point where you have the ability to say, nope, this is what I think, and I'm going to say it. And if you're going to tell me I can't say it, we probably can't do business anymore. Because he's going to be just fine, right? I mean, he's still working for MLB Network. He's still doing other stuff. He's going to be just fine.
He's not doing play-by-play for any pro sports that I've seen.
No, but he hasn't in years. I mean, that was his role with
but he was doing Olympic coverage.
Yes. And,
right, but not play-by-play. I mean, he was doing host. I mean, that's specifically with NBC.
The big marquee events.
And he lost that. And even though he's on Mount Rushmore, NBC said, no, we prefer the NFL to you.
Right. Which is a money decision, and that's
sure.
And NBC's within their rights to make that decision. He's just fine. This isn't some outrageous thing where Bob got screwed on the bit. I mean, he even said that it was a mutual parting of the way.
And he said kind things about NBC. He didn't always vilify them.
What's interesting in that story is that it sounded like every time that the outside the line folks went to talk to him, he was hyper concerned. To your point about how his relationship with NBC was
going. Not so much the NFL.
No,
he didn't really give a rip about the NFL.
No, and the NFL doesn't give a rip about him. So, I mean, that's a mutual thing
But he's a class act.
He wanted to go out
graciously. He tried to be. But still, you saw the comments from the NBC folks in there. They weren't happy that he discussed some of the conversations that they had.
Right.
So,
but he also in the article, he says, I got to sleep with myself every night. I got to look at myself in the mirror.
Definitely was an ethical decision.
Absolutely.
He said the purpose of it is so that I can sleep at night.
That's right.
He told Outside the Lines. Some of this is like blinking in a hostage video. It's like, I sort of have to do this. I hope you get what I'm really thinking right now. And again, anybody who's thinking of having their kids play football, I mean, you do the calculus and you look at safety, and yes, the helmets have gotten better, and yes, the NFL made a lot of changes, rule changes, to try to cut down on injury. And Costas was going to point that out on the air in his essay, but he was still going to be pretty firm and say, we still have a problem.
And in 2017, he told the University of Maryland, a crowd there, he said, quote, "The reality is that this game destroys people's brains. Not everyone's, but a substantial number. It's not a small number. It's a considerable number. It destroys their brains." And he just couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't stand there and cheer this on when he knew people's brains were being destroyed. I think it is enviable. I am so proud that Bob Costas exists in the world. I am, like you said in the beginning, truth to power. He stood up and he said, I'm just not going to do this.
I'm not comfortable with this.
The Mount Rushmore, i.e. Dan's reference, people like Bob Costas and people like Jeff Bezos, we're seeing this in our politics, stand up to authority, stand up to extortion and blackmail or something, just a moral injustice the way Bob did. What a great change that you're creating in the world.
You're swimming upstream and you may drown, mm-hmm. but you got to give him credit for at least taking a stand.
Let's sneak in. Pete and Frilly wants to jump in. We got a few minutes, Pete. Hi.
Hi. I kind of, you know, you guys are canonizing this guy, and I love Bob Costas. Don't get me wrong, but the reality is he's in his mid-60s now, and he's probably made enough money, and he's still doing a lot with MLB Network. That's number one. Number two, I DVR games all the time and watch them later, and I don't know the score because I tell all my friends, hey, I'm DVRing this game. Don't call me during the game.
They don't text you? They don't
No,
all my friends do that to me, and it bugs the crap out of me.
I tell them not to, and then because then they respect that. And then I have strategies like if I go into a restaurant and the scroll is on, you know, I sit at a table where I can't see that scroll, so I don't get the scores. And I can DVR a game Saturday night and get up Sunday morning and watch it and not know anything that's going on.
Okay.
It's not that hard. So,
Pete, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I hear what he's saying, but I still think he deserves some saying.
And you know, good for him. That's awesome. He's the severe anomaly these days.
The taping of the games.
I mean, that just doesn't happen anywhere near at the level that it did.
Yeah.
And it's the exception to the rule. So
because most people are on Twitter or Instagram or something else.
Good on him.
Because you don't want to be that guy. Hey, what did I miss? What?
But either way, we just wanted to shine the light. The article is amazing. Please take a look at it.
Can we post that on our Facebook?
We can certainly share the link from Outside the Lines at the Paul and Giordano page.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN, and they still run Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. so they're taking a bit of a risk, right, journalistically running this, running afoul of the NFL and Roger Goodell. So, again, I admire anybody who takes a stand.
That's right. I think that's fair to say.
And Costas took a stand, and it cost Costas.
Interesting lesson. When we get back, a little weather therapy. Maybe
just
a nothing burger, but a little something.
Yeah, a little nothing burger. And, by the way, if anybody asks, this has been an average winter. No, really.
Come on.
That's next on CCO.
Average winter? I'm exhausted.
Sound like fake weather to me, Paul.
I'm going to whine a little bit because it's funny. Like, I just said the weekend to somebody, I'm weary of this because I was schlepping around outside. You got places to go. You can't let the snow stop you. But it's exhausting. And I thought it was a terrible winter. But you're telling me, no, man up. It's just a regular old average winter.
There is a snow and cold index. Some call it the misery index.
Okay.
Those of us who like snow call it the winter fun index. It's all mental, right? Again, you tell yourself you're miserable, you will be miserable. If you say, hey, we don't get earthquakes.
Fair enough.
Look at the lovely snow.
I like the positivity.
We are now in a moderate winter. This snow and cold index factors temperatures, snowfall, and snow depth. So we're pretty much moderate, pretty much average. We've had, 59 points. Again, this is a moderate winter, same as last winter. Last winter, in fact, the last time
the
we had...
The snow was just more spread out then.
It was. And again, the problem last winter was that most of it came in April, right? And that's where people were indignant, right? After stuff turns green and flowers start blooming and then it snows 1 to 2 feet, people lose their stoic sense of humor. I found it interesting, the last severe winter here was 2013-2014. You have to go back 5 years. By the way, 2014, when the polar vortex just lingered week after week, month after month, everybody was miserable. That was the last severe winter and the ninth most severe winter since 1900. There's even a scale above severe winter called very severe winter. And Jura, you'll be happy to hear the last very severe winters were back in the early and mid 1980s. There was one winter we had 98.6 inches of snow. I just moved here.
It's a lot.
And I remember, I mean, you think this is bad?
It's a lot of snow.
This is nothing. Part of the challenge, though, is that recent winters, most winters now are trending milder. we don't get as much cold. We don't get as much snow. Many winters, not all. 1 in 3, 1 in 4, we get spanked. But the majority of winters are not the old-fashioned pioneer 1970s winters.
Right.
So if it's trending warmer, when we do get an average winter, it feels like punishment, even though it's just average.
From now on, could perception. We be better than average?
Yes, Garrison.
Warmer than average?
If you're keeping score, we had 16.3 inches of snow the first 10 days of February. It's already, Jor, the 10th snowiest February on record in the Twin Cities. Records go back to 1872. And here we are, what, 11 days into the month, and it's already the 10th snowiest. So we're going to get 2 to 4 tomorrow. The mother load is going into of snow is going into Wisconsin. And we just kind of get sideswiped. So it's not going to be that big a deal. With mid-20s, I think the freeway's wet, slushy. Again, snow falling at 25, different beast than snow falling at 8 degrees or 10 degrees.
And you did mention that it does feel warmer out there. It's not that blast.
It doesn't feel that bad.
You can actually have exposed skin today or have your jacket not zipped all the way up and survive it.
Here in the land of low weather expectations. The land of 10,000 weather complaints. No. The worst of the cold is behind us. And at some point, the models are hinting that by last week of February, we're a couple of weeks from now, fairly consistent 30s, more of a Pacific breeze. And again, just be glad we have snow plows. Seattle has seen, 15, 16? They've seen as much snow as we have in Seattle. And you could probably count the number of plows on two hands. In downtown Seattle, there it's a crisis.
They probably
state
haven't
of
left
emergency.
The house.
What?
They probably haven't left the house.
I know my son and my daughter-in-law have not left the house.
There you
it's,
go.
Yeah, it's a gong show. Can you imagine? And they've got serious hills in Seattle too. So anyway, it's all good.
The Target app shows you one price when you're at home, and then shows you a different
when you're
price.
In the parking lot of Target. I thought that was kind of cool.
Wow.
It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Hear that story when we go beyond the headlines next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, we should follow up on that Target story that you teased so
crazy.
Adequately.
It's crazy.
And thank you to Carol Levin for bringing this to our attention. They were the ones that broke this. Hmm. Apparently, Target has modified a smartphone app after Care reported that prices displayed on the app changed whenever users approached the retailer's stores.
That's crazy.
Sometimes rising by hundreds of dollars.
Come on.
Location-aware apps. Again, you give permission kind of by default. Unless you go in and make an effort to turn off the location aware on
your
phone.
Can you buy it on the app for cheaper?
In some cases, you could.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's crazy.
Care reports that Target recently released an updated version of its app that labels whether the price next to a product is online or in-store. The app's location tracking function lets users find nearby stores, which is helpful. Or where specific items are located. But it also appeared to trigger price changes as users entered Target parking lots.
That's crazy.
Target said in a statement that the updates to the app make it easier for customers to understand pricing policy. The statement also said every page of the updated app featuring a product will link directly to the company's policy of matching competitor prices. Which reminds me that every new convenience usually comes with some sort of a cost, right?
Reminder to say no when it says, can we use your location? Just say no. No.
Yeah.
Be smart.
There's something to be said for turning off location aware.
Don't be lazy when they say, can we track you? No.
Dan, are we?
Oh, not plugged in. Anyway, whoosh. Okay, we'll just do the whoosh. There you go. A man in India is suing his parents for creating him. Raphael Samuel, a Mumbai business executive, is suing his parents for giving birth to him. He told the BBC he was obsessed with this idea since he was a small child. The question of why his parents were entitled to create him without his consent, because it's not possible to ask children for consent before they are created. So therefore, he argues, it's wrong to have them at all. Now, it's unlikely that Samuel's suit will go anywhere in India's courts. The BBC says he's been unable to find a lawyer to take his case. Both of his parents, by the way, are lawyers, and they have responded in good humor. He said when he called his mother to tell her, she said, that's fine, when she learned of the news he was suing her, but don't expect me to go easy on you. I will destroy you in court. Now you wonder why
wow.
He wants to maybe get away from his parents. Pretty funny.
Okay, I get it.
And by the way, kids, if you're listening, if you're in the car, don't get any ideas.
Jory, this story, you should be reading this story. Having sex makes you better at your job.
Really?
Yeah. I love science.
I better have a lot more sex.
I love the researchers who are, I think they had no problems signing people up for this experiment. This may shock you. Research shows that having sex generally improves your mood through
sure.
the next day.
Nice.
When you feel happier, you tend to be more productive at work, more successful. There's more evidence that funny business can be good for business. Researchers tracked 159 married couples to take twice daily surveys about their moods for 2 weeks, published their findings in the Journal of Management. They found that the positive boost from sexy time lasted about 24 hours.
They didn't call it sexy time in the journal.
Well, they may have. I don't know. It resulted in employees reporting more satisfaction and engagement at work. The effect even lasted after controlling for overall marital satisfaction. So it wasn't just that happy married couples were likely to have more sex. And
totally
being
agree.
Blissfully wed and all that just happened to also do better at work.
Totally agree.
Men and women saw the same effect. But bringing your work home has the opposite effect. People who couldn't fully leave the office at the end of the day had much worse sex lives.
I maintain nobody ever went to their grave saying, I had too much sex. So whoop it up, folks. Have more. You will not regret it.
You're right.
Kim Worthy, just a shout out to Kim Worthy. Kim Worthy is the first black woman to serve as a county prosecutor in Detroit's Wayne County. She has worked to the end of a backlog of thousands of untested rape kits in the city. And her work has led to the discovery of, get this, more than 800 serial rapists.
Wow.
So in Detroit, and look, we are no different than Detroit, you know, because of Deny Justice, there were 800 serial rapists that were on the street because their rape kits had not been tested. So Kim Worthy, you are a champion. She's in the prosecutor's office in Detroit, Wayne County, and she is putting people behind bars that should be. Her discovery has led to more than 800 serial rapists.
Good for her.
Good
Holy
on you. Good
cow.
On you, Kim.
Hey, you never met a chocolate bar you didn't like.
I do have a sweet tooth. I have a giant chocolate cupcake, by the way.
That thing is as big as your head.
Swiped that.
You're
going to
eat that?
I'm working on it.
Good
I'm halfway
Lord.
Through.
So, Popular Science ran a story that caught my eye, and thank you to Tom Ring for passing this on. Can you overdose on chocolate? The answer is yes.
Really?
Yes, you can. Stay tuned.
I don't like that study.
The cocoa bean from which chocolate is made contains a substance called theobromine, which is a plant alkaloid with a slightly bitter taste. It's a mild stimulant, kind of similar to caffeine. And at high enough levels, theobromine can actually be toxic to humans, and at a much lower level, dogs. That's why never, ever, ever give chocolate to a dog.
Because they'll eat it.
You would first, though, probably get a very upset stomach and yak up the chocolate long before you overdose. So here's the deal. A typical adult human who needs to eat about 75,000 milligrams to be at a toxic level. That is, Jordana, equivalent to 711 regular-sized Hershey's milk chocolate bars.
That's a lot. I eat a lot of chocolate bars, but that's a lot.
Or 7,084 Hershey chocolate kisses.
I love kisses.
7,084. There's never been a confirmed case of chocolate poisoning, so
good to know.
Go for it. What a great way to go, though.
I'm not going for the record, but yeah, that sounds pretty good. Chimps have used a branch as a ladder to escape a Belfast zoo. This is classic, okay?
What?
There was storm damage. Stormy weather in Belfast caused a couple of branches to fall into their enclosure, which is open to the sky. But, you know, the enclosure obviously on the ground is enclosed, i.e. enclosure. Their bid for freedom was made this Saturday. They scaled the walls on their surrounding pen and reached up for the branches. Visitors described seeing one of the escapees emerge from the bushes onto a path while the others were sitting on top of the enclosure walls. A child was overheard exclaiming, "Don't escape, you bad little gorilla." People are walking around and the gorillas got out. Okay. So then, of course, they were walking. They were on like the little paths at the zoo. You know, with our Minnesota Zoo, you have a path. So gorillas are sitting there. One of the gorillas, what was the tip off? They decided
something isn't right.
What's cool about this is they decided to get back into their enclosure on their own. And the zookeeper told the BBC they're intelligent primates and they know they're not supposed to be out of their enclosure. So they got back in themselves.
Wow.
People walking around did express, you know, concern for their safety. They were petrified, but they just kind of had to stay calm where they were, because if they freaked out, then that might have spooked the gorillas.
Don't run.
Right. But then they got back in on their own.
That's
how cool. I mean, thank God nobody got hurt, but how hilarious is that?
Where was this again?
Belfast.
Belfast.
Crazy story.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a fun zoo tale.
All right. We got an animal theme going now.
Yeah.
Parents in a remote Russian archipelago are scared to send their kids to school.
Uh-oh.
After a mass invasion of polar bears.
What?
Pushing into residential areas.
They're mean too, right?
Yeah, well, when they're hungry or when you come near a cub, yeah. This is according to TASS, the Russian state news agency. This town is Novaya Zemlya. Novaya Zemlya. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
That.
Off Russia's northeast Arctic coast, it's been swarmed by dozens of polar bears since December. The largest settlement, oh, God help me. Belyusha Guba, with a population of 2,500 people, I've not been there, has reported 50 sightings. Local experts say bears have attacked people and entered buildings. A state of emergency was announced on Saturday. Up to 10 polar bears reportedly on the settlement's territory at any given time.
Wow.
Quote, people are scared, they're frightened to leave their homes, and their daily routines are broken. Parents are afraid to let the kids walk to school or kindergarten.
Yeah,
polar bears would be a disincentive.
Another positive about the Minnesota weather. We don't have polar bears.
Although a few decorative penguins would be kind of cool.
That would be
neat to
wake
up and see penguins waddling around.
Let me sneak in one quick more because we have a one more story. We have a animal theme. For $20, Wildlife Images will put your ex's name on a salmon and feed it to a bear. Last week, I believe we had a cockroach being fed to a snake.
For exes.
This week in Oregon, Wildlife Images is offering a unique way to get revenge on your ex-Valentine. By the way, for Valentine's Day, buy Abdullah chocolates and candies. But when you think about your ex, you might want to consider a $20 donation be put on a salmon and served to one of the organization's 1,000-pound bears.
It's kind of ghoulish.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Jeez. Who thinks up this stuff?
Time now is 4:46. That is a Wixon Jewelers time check. Did you know Wixon Jewelers will buy your pre-owned watch? Stop by today for a free consultation with one of their expert watch appraisers. Our hero, Mike Max, is over at TV.
Hey.
And I feel like we're a broken record, Mikey, you know, with the Timberwolves.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the weather. I guess both.
The Wild loss. Or I am.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day.
I am.
Are there any nuggets of good news out there in the sporting world?
Let me think.
You have to think pretty hard.
It's sports. It's supposed to be positive.
You know, it's almost. It'd be a great discussion. So, Gopher women's team won for the fourth straight time.
Yes,
that's good news.
Good.
But it's almost an interesting social discussion, like a what do you call it? Town hall meeting or something. Sometime, if you could sit down and really talk about why it's hard for Minnesota to win at the professional and university level. And I think it would really be fascinating because I think there's a lot of things that enter in. Some of it's luck. Some of it is proximity. A lot of it is bad decisions by people, you know. But their expectations are fair. You know, I always say, look at Denver. Whatever Denver can do, we should be able to do.
Right.
Don't look at New York or L.A. or Miami or Houston. They're too big. Chicago.
Seattle or Denver, yes.
And Seattle doesn't have pro hockey teams. We already got them beat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
In general, those are the kinds of people that you maybe Phoenix, you know, they've got the full complement of teams. What's possible? How many times do they win versus up here? And I think that's the fair analogy. Timberwolves play the Clippers tonight.
Right.
Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague could play some. That's good news, I guess. But you get the feeling like this thing's falling apart. That's the way it feels right now. They've lost three straight. They lost to New Orleans the other night. Anthony Davis had 32 points through three quarters. Didn't even play the fourth quarter. The star, you know, their star player, he's involved in all the trade rumors and all that. And the Wolves couldn't beat him. So you feel like this thing is coming apart at the seams. Now, you win a couple and you have a different tenor to it, but that's the way it feels right now with the Timberwolves.
Max, you say, getting back to the original premise, you know, why is it so hard to be a Minnesota sports fan? As I heard something, and I want to make sure this passes the smell test with you. Somebody said that a five-month-old baby living in Boston has experienced more national championships than a 55-year-old man living in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right, because the Patriots and the Red Sox, you know?
I mean, the rich get richer.
Oh, my. Yeah. Now, but, you know, in theory, based on the way the NFL is set up, there's no reason that Belichick and Brady can't end up in any market,
right?
You know? And there's your linchpin, right? So if those two are there and they grow together and you build a team around them time after time after time, in theory, it should be anywhere. Why it happens in Boston is beyond me. You
repeatedly,
know?
Though.
Repeatedly.
The fact that it's not just a fluke.
The Celtics have won there a few years ago. They're good again. The Bruins have been okay. The Red Sox have been very good since they broke the jinx. All that stuff, you know, is true. And the other thing is you always got to think now. You talk about free agents, right, because that's one way to build your team. Now, really think about this. Let's just say you're a free agent baseball player or basketball player, and you have no ties to here. That's a pretty tough sell. Take the Twins or the Timberwolves. You know, not much recent success to sell them on. You can't say, hey, you're the missing piece. You can't say, you know, with you we'll win a championship. It doesn't look like that from the outside looking in. And that same person, if they're really good, because those are the ones that can help you, is going, well, you know what, I can go play in Boston, or I can go play in L.A., or I can go play in Houston. And it looks to me like I can make just as much money and have a real chance to win. So think about what you have to do then. You have to overpay guys that generally speaking aren't as good as what you need to get there. And, you know, the Vikings with Remmers and Reef on the offensive line would be a good example. You pay more than you because you have that money available to you through the salary cap and revenue sharing, and you end up with a couple of average players. That can happen real easily in this market.
So you have to find rising stars, right?
And good luck.
When they're young and loaded with potential, the Mahomes of the world, before they're commanding huge paychecks.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that goes into scouting, and it goes into, you know, not just being able to get them, but to procure them for a long period of time. There's a lot that goes into that. You know, the Wild are sitting over there. If you look at the history of their franchise, they had 1 year early on where they went to the conference finals, and that's it. Other than that, they've been kind of a playoff bus team. And this is 18, 19 years, you know. That's a long time to have a shot at, to kick the can, as they say. Yeah. And even they, in a hockey town, have a tough time doing it.
And the trouble there, right, Mike, is that even if you identify a talented kid and draft him and try to, you know, move him along through the system and develop him, you get a Cordero Patterson who flames out here with the Vikings, leaves as a free agent, goes and signs with who?
Boom.
The New England Patriots, and now has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, and the fact that they could take him in. This is what you get out of the culture of New England. He goes, I better pay attention here, because if New England kicks me off the team, nobody's going to want to sign me, because that means I can't take orders and can't run the offense, you know. So you get that advantage once winning creates winning that way, you know, once you get a culture going. But, you know, I was thinking back, you know, Parisi and Suter are hometown guys, you know, they just haven't been able to build enough around them. Jack Morris was the ultimate. Came back home. He never would have come to Minnesota except he was from here. Mm-hmm. 1 year contract, wanted to prove himself, and they won the World Series. So every once in a while something like that can work out. But boy, if you're counting on it, the Cleveland Cavaliers probably aren't going to have another LeBron James go to high school in that area, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk Twins, okay? Pitchers and catchers report this week. So any news on free agent front?
Not a lot. We had Derek Falvey on yesterday. There's still some guys out there. It doesn't sound like there's anything imminent in terms of a high-end player, although I wouldn't bet against him signing some more free agents here. Last year they got burned by it a little bit because those guys came in late, and you always sense that they were pressing and never up to speed. But that'll evolve here over the next couple of weeks. I hear the music playing.
We're playing you off like at the Grammys.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy.
Go to WCCORadio.com right now. Sign up at Join the Team for the newsletter, and you will automatically be registered to win Elton John tickets. If you've already signed up, don't worry. You're already entered. You should have gotten a link. But sign up right now. When we come back, more on Amy Klobuchar and Ilhan Omar.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.